welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Everybody, this is Evelyn. I'm a Reader Services Librarian from the Syosset Public Library. This is our Turn the Page podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. And also today we have with us
Stacy. I am also a Reader Services Librarian.
And Jessica, I'm Community Engagement Librarian. And we are thrilled to introduce our special guest.
Hi, I'm Chris Bojellian, a novelist and a super fan of libraries. And thrilled to be chatting with all of you at the Syosset.
Thank you.
Oh, we are super thrilled to be talking with you because you are such a prolific writer.
Yeah, we can't keep your books on the shelves, except for when we're in a global pandemic and we physically can't get to them.
then they have to be on the shelves.
Then they have to be on the shelves, but otherwise.
But they're going out in e-books through our other means of getting things out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
what is it like? I know you have a brand new book that came out, The Red Lotus. And what's it like trying to promote that book during a pandemic?
You know, priorities. Given the state of the world, given the realities of the pandemic, promoting The Red Lotus is the lowest of my priorities. It's my 21st book.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
I mean, my heart breaks for those novelists who had their first or second or third book published in March, especially in March, because libraries and bookstores were shutting down. Mm-hmm. We hadn't yet figured out how to virtually support right. books with events. I mean, I had so many friends at bookstores around the country who texted or emailed me their apologies that they never even unpacked the box with the books. And that's a reality. I love The Red Lotus. I love my heroine, Alexis Remnick. I love the irony that it's a ticking clock thriller in the days before a possible global pandemic. But I also understand that people have lost so much more than me and my silly book.
Well, do you want to just give us a little summary of the book? So everybody sure. knows what it's about.
Sure, The Red Lotus is the story of Alexis Remnick, a New York City ER doctor who goes on a bike tour of Vietnam with her new boyfriend, and he disappears. And in his absence, she discovered that so much he told her was a lie, and she is in spectacular amounts of danger from, among other things, a deadly pathogen.
Wow. And this one starts with rats, not bats, right?
There are rats in it. Yeah, not bats, but yeah, there are rats.
The book in New York City, yeah. No rats in New York City.
The book actually had its
most of your books in the beginning were all in Vermont, which is where you're living now.
Yeah, that's a myth. That's just not true anymore.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yes, the first half of my career
was Vermont. Which I love reading about Vermont.
But only two or three of the 10 or 11 have been set here. I love Vermont, but I've found in the last 15 years, it's more interesting to me to write historical fiction or to write books set in other parts of the world, frequently in New York City. So for example, The Red Lotus is set in New York City and in Vietnam. But going back to the rats, in April 2018, when I read two newspaper articles, one in the New York Times was about how New York City has mice with eight different kinds of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Among the people in the article interviewed was Peter Daszak, epidemiologist and one of the smartest people I've ever seen. He was on 60 Minutes a couple Sundays ago, and he said that New York City has the three things you have to have for a terrible pandemic: high population density, a population that depends on mass transportation and international travelers coming and going.
Absolutely.
The second article, yeah, in the New York Post, the 8 buildings in New York City with the most rodent complaints. And I began to think, okay, about the days before a pandemic in New York City. And I was off in writing.
So you began thinking about this in 2018 then?
Oh, yeah.
Are you psychic? Yeah. Chris, you must be psychic, right?
Yeah, hindsight, I wish I'd written a book about a cure.
I wish. That would be nice. That would be nice. Yeah. Well, at least you're up in Vermont, where I'm sure it's not a high amount of people with it, right?
No, and we did a great job of social quarantining. But what's so interesting is how fast. The Red Lotus published on Tuesday, March 17th.
Oh, that was like when we closed.
Yeah.
Friday, March 13th, I still had scheduled on the books a 14-city, 4-time zone book tour.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Until that afternoon.
Were you planning on coming to BEA? Were you going to be down here in New York for the book expo?
It was not. One of the ways publishers use BEA is to promote their big summer, you know, not a March. It's, you know, March is history by then. Books are moved. They either live or die in the first week, especially at this stage in my career.
Yeah. Well, you know what? One of my favorite books of yours is The Double Bind. I just love that book. I recommend that book all the time.
Thank you. It's
a great, great book. And then your last book, the one right before The Red Lotus, The Flight Attendant, which debuted as a New York Times, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, Publishers Weekly, and National Indiebound bestseller. And now it's currently being made into an 8-hour HBO Max limited series starring Kaley Cuoco from Big Bang Theory.
Yep.
Oh, it's such a good cast. Kaley Cuoco, Gail Huysman, Rosie Perez, T.R. Knight, Meryl Dan. It's a great, great cast.
Is it done? Did they finish taping?
Oh, they didn't. They'd done about 6.5 hours before they had to shut down for the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. We look forward to seeing it because we know eventually it will come to fruition. We were reading an article about just how it began. You started writing it as, I think, like, was it in the 1960s? And then it became a more modern story?
Originally, I envisioned it as a Cold War thriller, rather like North by Northwest. Remember that movie, Roger Thornhill, blackout drunk, has no idea why somebody's trying to kill him, and it turns out to be the Russians, and then the second half of the movie is trying to stay a step ahead of the Russians. That's kind of what I was envisioning. Blackout drunk, hot mess of a flight attendant, wakes up next to a dead body in Dubai. My aunt was a flight attendant in the 1960s, and she flew internationally. And we always used to joke she was a spy because it was such a great cover in the Cold War.
Yeah.
In September of 2016, when I was about halfway done with the book, I was at the line of contact between Armenia, the Armenian Republic of Artsakh, and Azerbaijan. I was there as a reporter for the New York Times to write an article about this Cold War that is always threatening to go very hot. And I was chatting with a philanthropist. And he's, you know, we've got our flak jackets on, we've got our helmets on with the trenches. And he starts telling me about the difference in cost in ordering an execution in Dubai versus Donetsk. How a deal goes bad with a certain breed of Russian. It isn't messy, it's bloody. And I was really interested. And that's when I decided we're going to set this book in the present, because the fact is Russia in 2000 is every bit as interesting as the Soviet Union in 1964. It's just different.
write your books in such different locales. I mean, in such different types of books. That's what's so wonderful about your writing. And we all get to learn about all lots of different things.
Yeah.
The Armenian.
It's like armchair traveling.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. You know, thank you. You know, my goal is never to write the same book twice.
Never. You so don't. You absolutely don't. Yeah. We look forward to each and every one. What is your work discipline like? When do you write?
Well, I'm in this chair in this office about 6 a.m.
It's a lovely office, by the way. I know our listeners can't see it, but
we all want to see what's on the bookshelves. That's like what we all wanted to see when we interviewed people.
But you don't have to go and show us everything.
But I mean, there are lots of pictures of my office on my Instagram feed.
Okay.
You scroll, you know, you see lots of my dog Jesse in here with me, and I write until lunchtime. Oh. I don't, though, just sit down and start writing. The first thing I do is I get an 8.4 ounce can of sugar free Red Bull, and then I go to a big dictionary, and it's very much like the massive paper dictionaries in your libraries. It, you know, it must weigh 15, 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I pick out a couple words that are just interesting, pretty. Noctivagant, luminescent, cerulean.
Good word.
Yeah.
And I write them down and wonder if I can use one that day. Then I watch movie trailers or TV series trailers, because those beautifully produced 2 and 3 minute previews of TV shows and movies instantly catapult you to an emotional place. And some I watch over and over and over. When I was writing The Guest Room, I was always watching the trailers for Birdman, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, Boyhood, and a small indie film with Jennifer Aniston, Cake. Those trailers each had something to do with one character for me in the book to get in the headspace.
Wow.
By about 6:15, I start writing, and I'm here until lunchtime. Then in the afternoon, I'll usually, especially in, you know, between April and October, I'll go for a bike ride.
Yeah,
that's really nice.
From what I've seen, you do a lot of bike riding, huh? How many miles a day do you do?
25 to 50.
That's fabulous.
That's, and I am so impressed. I would never be able to do that.
And Vermont is hilly, right? I mean, it's not flat land. You're up and down those wonderful hills. I've been to Vermont.
You're absolutely right.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful and it is hilly. And I do so much thinking about my books while I bike. I solve scenes. I write scenes on my iPhone. I figure out character arcs. Yesterday, I figured out 2 critical things for the book I'm writing right now that I worked on this morning.
Oh, do you want to tell us about what's coming up?
Are you allowed to?
Are you allowed to? It's a big question.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about 3 things. The next book you will see from me comes out in March of, new book, you'll see from me comes out in March of 2021. Okay. It's called Hour of the Witch.
Ooh, we like witches.
1662 Boston. It's about the first divorce in North America for domestic violence and the original witch hunt.
Okay,
that's,
I want
incredible.
It now.
I want to read that. Yeah. I want to read that yesterday.
Wow.
Right up all of our alleys, right? All 3 of us.
Imagine the Puritans Go Me Too. I'm very excited about it. It's done.
Oh, wow.
I'll be a beta tester if you want. Send it my way.
Well, we can make sure. Absolutely. It
sounds wonderful.
The next non-new book you will see from me is on June 30th of this year, the 25th anniversary edition of my 1995 novel, Water Witches, with a special introduction and author's note I've written about the relevance of this book in 2020, because it's a book about the environment and global climate change. And
oh, wow. Was that your first book?
That was my fourth.
Fourth book, okay. And some of your books have been made into movies and plays.
3 have been made into movies, Secrets of Eden, Midwives, Past the Bleachers. And you can find Past the Bleachers and Secrets of Eden the movies on Amazon or Prime, Amazon Prime.
Oh, great.
You can't find midwives for some reason, even though it stars Spacek, Allison Pill, Peter Coyote. The Red Lotus, we just inked the movie deal this week.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you. And yes, Midwives is my second play I've written. It had its world premiere just before everything shut down. The George Playhouse. It starred Ellen McLaughlin, who was the original Angel on Broadway in Angels in America, Lee Sellers, Armie Shaw, Monique Robinson, and a really, really amazing young actor named Grace Experience. She's read a lot of my audiobooks. She's my daughter.
Oh,
I was going to say, excellent. I recognize her name from when you've promoted her on Instagram.
Yeah, my amazing Grace Experience.
That's wonderful. Good for her. She lives down in New York City?
She does. Though, obviously, her spring show and her summer show were canceled, so she was unemployed. So she spent 8 weeks with my wife and me. She brought her boyfriend here in Vermont, which was fantastic. They're in North Carolina with his mother. But it was just so great to have the two of them. I mean, you know, two 20-something unemployed actors who are great bakers. It doesn't get better than that.
Baking has become a big thing during this pandemic. We interviewed somebody a few it seems like ages ago when everything started and all the baking began, and they were talking about a book called Sourdough, which would be good to read during quarantine because everybody is baking sourdough, which is crazy.
Yes. Okay. That explains why on another interview, our coworker was like, can you talk about sourdough? And I was like, I don't get this.
Do you have a favorite quarantine baked good?
Yes. The New York Times 4 weeks ago had a recipe for triple layer peanut butter chocolate brownies.
Oh my God.
That sounds delicious.
I want that.
Three layers, so good. Also,
I'll look up the recipe.
The Stewart recipe for lemon squares, pretty damn good.
Sharon, I think, one of our librarians.
She made that.
The library recently. All I've made is banana bread.
Me too. And brownies. I've done banana bread and brownies.
And when in doubt, the brown sugar Pop-Tarts.
not a bad thing when you're in a bind.
No.
So have you written any of the screenplays for the movies? Was that part of what you've done? Or?
The two TV projects that I'm writing, I'm working with the wonderful actor starring right now in Prodigal Son, Lou Diamond Phillips.
That's excellent.
On an adaptation we're doing together of my novel, Skeletons at the Feast. And separately, I'm writing an adaptation of my novel, The Guest Room.
Very nice.
Not involved with writing The Flight Attendant. The showrunner for that is an utterly brilliant guy named Steve Yawkey, who's in charge of The Flight Attendant. And everything he's told me he's doing just made my heart go pitter-pat. It's so smart, and he's so smart, and it's just fabulous. I don't know who will be writing The Red Lotus. We'll be announcing that writer, I believe, when they announce the movie deal.
That's so great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Did they film The Flight Attendant in Dubai?
They filmed it on three continents.
Wow.
They filmed mostly in New York City. They filmed also in Italy. Now, the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, rejected the script because they considered the novel, even though they sold well in Dubai, but the script and the novel obscene. So they said, you cannot. So instead, they filmed it in Bangkok. You will see it in three continents. It's amazing. Bangkok, Rome, and New York City.
Very nice. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
What's your favorite place that you've traveled to? Because it's, and I love that you travel places and you bike when you go there.
Yeah.
Well, as an Armenian American, I certainly love going to Armenia. I mean, I go there at least every 18 months. I had a trip scheduled there in July for a wedding, which was canceled, obviously. I'm not going to Armenia this summer, but I love Armenia. But I've also loved Cambodia and Vietnam. Very different, very, very different places. Cambodia feels like a Graham Greene novel from the 1950s. Vietnam feels kind of like Disneyland for grownups. And for my 2022 novel, my wife and I spent 2 weeks in the Serengeti researching a safari.
Because my favorite state.
Stacy went on a safari.
I was not in the Serengeti, but.
Where was it in Kenya or where was it in Tanzania?
No, I was in by like 3 hours away from Johannesburg in South Africa. Great.
Yep. Was it amazing?
Oh my God, it was. I can't wait to go back. I'm like, what was really fun is that we made friends with another couple. So now we have travel buddies.
Yeah, that was their their honeymoon. Yeah. You know, most people are like, I'm going to go, you know, to sandals. Stacy's like, I am going on a safari.
No, because it's something I wanted to cross off my bucket list before I had kids. Because I was like, I don't want to go, like, I don't want to wait to go. And I was impatient, so I went, and we went with a couple that it was their honeymoon, and we bonded over the fact that me and the wife of the couple both were really like, yes, let's go shark diving, let's do this, and dragging our husbands with us. That didn't end up happening because the weather was bad, but that's how we bonded. And meanwhile, she asked for a lot of book recommendations on the trip, and I was like, I'm a librarian, let me throw some books at
when
you.
When I was on my honeymoon, I was like, I don't want to do anything. We went to a resort, but I noticed there was a little library there, and I'm just looking at these books, like, man, I could bring books here from my house, and like, it would be the best library ever, and people would come and they'd ask me what to read, and I'd be like, read this, read that. Like, do you guys need a librarian here on the resort? it doesn't matter where it is. Like, I was literally in an airport, like 4 months ago, it feels like, in February, and I was reading a book, and somebody was like, oh, it was the new Eric Larson book. Is that the new Eric Larson book? Oh, yes, it is. Talking about it. And then by the time we boarded the plane, I already recommended 5 other books to him. So,
I do it even at the deli counter. I mean, it's all over. Yeah. When you're a librarian,
people love reading.
Yeah. And love reading your books. What do you like to read? What do you like to read, Chris? Do you have time to read? You're so busy.
Oh, of course. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I read lots and lots of contemporary literature. I read lots and lots of historical literature and research. So, for example, for the book I'm writing right now, I'm just loving Mark Meredith's The State of Africa.
That's a nice cover.
These are some of the books that I've read for the book I'm researching right now. Ancient, you know, 1960s, Robert Rourke, Hemingway. Poached. Then Pan Am, 1960s Guide to Safaris.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
I love the VW bus on the cover.
Yeah.
Beautiful, lovely early 1970s book about the Serengeti. So this gives you a sense of, you know, just for the book I'm writing right now, which comes out in 2022, which is set in 1964. It's about an Elizabeth Taylor type movie star who brings her best friends, her manager, her publicist, her agent on a safari. And it all goes to hell in a handbasket. And it's, you know, it's pretty much one of those. And then there were none. How many of these people in the safari are even going to be alive on the last one?
Well, we look forward to 2021 and 2022. I hope you will consider interviewing with us again. Hopefully, we will all be in a better state of the world when you're too new when those books come out. We do thank you, and we hope that you will consider interviewing with us again at some point in the future.
You know, I love chatting with the three of you.
Thank you.
This
is my highlight of my pandemic.
It really is. Likewise, we love chatting with you.
Thank you for all you do as librarians to celebrate words and reading and books can mean to the soul. You are rock stars, and I cannot thank you enough.
Thank you.
From a rock star, that's amazing.
Yeah. I'm so looking forward to Hour of the Witch.
Of the Witch, March of 2021.
We will look forward to it, and we'll be in touch. Maybe we'll chat about it. Okay, so Evelyn, want to sign us off?
Sure. This is Evelyn, Syosset Public Library from Turn the Page.
And Jessica.
And Stacy.
And Chris.
Thank you, Chris, so much.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.